And we're holding on page Lamed Aleph in Megillah, about the middle of the page, middle of a Sofes. And we're in the middle of the Gemara's explaining why the brachas of Shemana Esrei are in the order that they are. So far, we've covered the first half of Shemana Esrei through the brach, through Birkas Hashon, through the brach of Baruch Alein. So now, continuing, the Gemara says, why did the Anshe Knesset Gedolah decide that the next thing after Birkas Hashanim should be the bracha of Kibbutz Goliath, the bracha of Kabbash Shoreh? Dichtiv, the reason is because the Pasuk says, the Navi says to the Navi Yechezkel says to the mountains of Eretz Yisrael, you mountains of Yisrael, Antechem Titenu, you will give forth. You will give forth your branches, ufer yechem tisu, and you will bear fruit, la'ami Yisrael, for my Jewish people, ki kerevu lavoi, because they're coming very soon. So we see that Kibbutz Goliath and Birkas Hashanim, the fact that the trees are producing lots of fruit, those two things go together. In fact, Marashah refers in this connection to a Gemara that says in Sanhedrin, the clearest indication you have that the Geula is on its way is that you see that the trees and the fields of Eretz Yisrael are producing fruit, as we have in fact now. So that shows that the Geula really is very close. So, because you have that pasuk expressing that point, like this, you have the Navi describes how throughout all the time of Golus, Eretz Yisrael was so desolate, and everybody always thought it's a cursed country and whatever. And now, when the Jewish people return to it, then everybody's going to really see that it's the source of all brachas in the world. This is the Yechezkel describes how all the Goyim throughout all the generations have thought that Eretz Yisrael is a horrible place. Because they always saw it desolate. Nobody manages to make a living over there. Now Rashi points out, and the real reason is because Rashi points out in Parshas B'chukosah and the Teichacha, v'shamu alei oivechem. Whenever your enemies live in Eretz Yisrael, they're always desolate. They never manage to make anything of it. Only we Jewish people are, because it's our land. It's land that the Eved should reserve for us. But you know, I've mentioned this here before. You know, sometimes the clearest indication of how the Goyim think is from them themselves. You have a famous American writer, Mark Twain. He visited Eretz Yisrael in the 1860s, you know, because part of their religion and all that. And he describes how the place is so desolate and empty and uncultivated and unsettled. And how could anybody have ever lived here? And how could it be this beautiful, fertile land that's described in Tanakh? Well, if he were alive 100 years later, he'd see it. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here, and that's what Marsha is saying. We see in that Gemara in Sanhedrin that shows that it really is the Geula is coming very close. But therefore, yeah. Therefore, that is why the Chachamim put, that is why the Anshe Knesset Gedolah put together, they put one after the other, Birkas Hashanim, where we ask Hashem to make the earth fruitful and plentiful, and the bracha of Kibbutz Goliath, because those two things go together. Next, continues the Gemara. The Kivanshin is scabbed to Golias. Now, once the Golias are gathered together, once the Jewish people are gathered together in Eretz Yisrael, Nasid Din Barashoyim. At that point, it's time for the Rishoyim to be judged. Shanemar, as we find the Pasuk, but Oshiva Yodi Alayich, Hashem says, I will return my hand upon you, meaning that in context, what it means is, in other words, Hashem is saying there's going to be the Yisurim of Golos, the Etzrith Kabur Sigoyich, I will purify, I will refine out all of your dregs and your dross, meaning, in other words, there's going to be, the Navi is describing, there are certain people who may not make it to the Golan Mitzvah Shleima, at least not under their own schosim, Uchtiv, and then the Pasuk continues, the point is, in other words, that so you have the Jewish people are going to be brought back to Eretz Yisrael with the Geula Amitis Vashlema, and then and the pasuk continues, I'll restore your judges as they were originally. So just like, and the next pasuk continues, so therefore there's a connection between Kibbutz Goliath and the Shoftim. Now the bracha Hoshiva Shiftenu is not really talking directly about the Shoftim punishing the Rishoyim. That's really the next bracha. But the point is, once there are Shoftim, then that makes it possible to punish the Rishoyim the way that they need to be. That's the Etzvif Kabor Sigoyas, that the Shoftim are going to have the job of doing that, of cleaning up the Jewish people.
I have a question.
Yeah.
After what the Arabs did to the Yidden, Yimach Shimon, those Arabs, When they did that with Sil Hasor despair.
That is true. So we're not saying.
What is Hashem doing? Why did that go down? And he doesn't.
It's a very good question. It's a very good question. It's a very good question. It's a very good question, and it's something that we can bring about another time, but now let's continue. There is no answer. It's true. Right now, let's continue learning, and that's our answer right now. Yeah. Okay. Continues the Gemara, but Kivin Shanasa Din Minim Rishoyim, once the Rishoyim are judged, Kolu HaMinim. So now the Minim are gone, because the Minim are a group of Rishoyim. In particular, Rashi explains that Minim are people who don't believe that Torah comes from Shemayim. The Kolo Zedim and Aminim, and together with you, so when you say in the Baruch of Olam HaShinim, now by the way, it's worth pointing out, the Gemara always calls it Birkas HaMinim. Now you have, this is one of those brachas that has been naturally tampered a lot with the censors over the years. You have, in fact, an older Sidurei Chabad, you have a couple of words missing, which now in the newer Sidurim have been restored, but you have even, it seems, from older Kisvei Yad, for example, from the Rambam Seder, Atfila, whatever, the original version of the bracha, it seems, began Lamin, whereas our version, the way the Alter Rebbe said it, begins V'lam Al-Shin, and only later do we mention the Minim in the middle of it.
Okay. So,
Lamashinim means informed.
What's the exact type of meaning?
That's what I just said. Minim Rashi defines over here as people who don't believe that Torah is Minashamayim. The Rambam, actually, in Hilchos Shuva, gives a whole taxonomy. You have Minim, and you have Koifrim, and you have Apikorsim, or whatever, because remember the Rambam has 13, it has 13 Ikrim of Yiddishkeit, and so the Rambam defines that you have, there's a group of people who don't believe in certain fundamental things about Hashem, they don't believe Hashem exists, they believe there's more than one, they believe he has a guf, etc. That's one group. Then you have, they're the ones who are called Minim. Then you have the ones who believe that, for example, that Hashem doesn't speak to people, or that the Torah is not Minashamayim, or whatever, they're called Apikorsim, and then you have people who don't believe in the various other things, in Tzchayva, Onish, and Tchias, and Mesim. So,
going on the Yidden, or it's also
the Pashtos, we're talking about Yidden primarily. I mean, the original purpose why they made the Birkas HaMinim is you had a variety of different groups. You had Tzedukim, you had the early Christians, you had various ones who were making life difficult for the Jewish people. Among them were also Taka ones who were informing on Jews to the Romans, and therefore V'lam HaShinim is included in there, but it seems that maybe the original version of the Baracha first mentioned the Minim and had the Malshinim in there someplace only later, whereas we have it the other way around. In any case, the point is, the Gemara is saying that in that bracha, you also have to mention the Zedim, the people who are doing Avedas deliberately and rebelliously against Hashem. So even if they're not Minim per se, they may believe in Hashem, but nevertheless, they're acting in a rebellious way towards Hashem, we have to daven that they should be broken and etc., about them as well. So therefore, we have to include them. Shenemar, as the next passage continues in Yeshaya, the Shever Poshim, B'chatoyim Yachdav Yichlu, the breakage of the Poshim, of the ones who are rebelling against Hashem, and the Chatoyim and the sinners, Yachdav Yichlu, together they will disappear. So therefore, when you're saying a bracha about the Rishoyim, about the Minim or the Malshinim, you have to include the Zedim in there as well.
They're rebelling against Hashem is on purpose, but maybe that also includes the fact that the Yetzirah took them over and cut control of them.
Whatever the case, the point is that they're rebelling. The point is actually, you know, you have in the Siddur, actually, if you look in the Bracha of Olam HaShinim, you'll find you have the expression over there, or Malchus Siddur, Shemer, Sa'aker, or Shaber, or Smager, then there's a comma, the Sachniyah, B'mheir of Yamein. So what is it? It's explained, I think, in Hayyam Yom, that the first three, Ta'akos, Shabos, Smager refers to the Sholosh Klippas Atmeis, which have to completely be uprooted and removed and crushed and so forth. And then you have Klippas Nerga, which is only the Sachniyah. It has to be subjugated, it doesn't have to be destroyed completely because it has a Torah in it. So you're mentioning Yidden who are led astray by the Yetzirah very well. They may be in the Mesachnian class, but nonetheless, we still have to mention them in that brach. So therefore we do. We say B'chol HaMinim, B'chol HaZeidim, Karegi Yevedu, so we mention the Minim appropriately. Marsha points out, by the way, now, you know, we the Gemara in Brachas tells us that the Brach of Olam HaShinim was added only later. What happened in the original version of Shemana Esrei, the way the Anshech Netzach Dola put it together? We're saying over here, once you have the Shoftim, then the Minim disappear, and then the next thing is once the Minim disappear, then the Tzadikim's strength is exalted. But when there's no Brach of Olam HaShinim in there yet, then how does the flow go? So he says that the vote would be that then what you have is, again, the bracha Hashiva Sheftenu is sort of including also, as the Gemara had just said, about judging the Rishoyim. There is the bracha Hashiva Sheftenu. It doesn't actually mention judging the Rishoyim per se, but nevertheless, that's sort of included. As the Gemara said, when you have Sheftim, then they can judge the Rishoyim. So therefore, it still flowed naturally from there to go. Once the Rishoyim are out of the picture, then the Tzadikim are exalted. which is the subject of the next bracha ala tzedikim. So it worked either way. Yeah, by the way, there are sidurim, there are Sfardish sidurim, where, you know, they put in a lot of kavonis into the words over there. You have when we say in the bracha over there, Shiva Shiftenu, when we have the words, v'hosim menu yogin v'anocha, there's a note in there, api kabbalah, that yogin and anocha refer respectively to samach mem and livus. So in that sense, we are asking in that bracha that evil and the rishoyim and samach mem and livus, which are the samach mem is the malach of evil. Yogin v'anocha literally means sorrow and sighing. So we're asking, v'hosim menu, remove from us, yogin v'anocha, sorrow and sighing, umloich aleinu, and you alone, Hashem, rule over us. So we're saying, in those siddurim, it mentions api kabbalah, probably comes from Kisvei Arizal or something, that yogin and anocha, the deeper sense, it refers not just to the troubles and sighs that we have on a regular basis, but it refers to the sort of the fountainhead of all evil in the world, which is samach mem and livus. So therefore, you really do have in that bracha the idea of the rishoyim, of rishos being removed and gotten out of the world. Onward, the Gemara says, but Kivan Shekolu Aminin, once the Minim are out of the picture, Mr. Nemes, Keren Tzadikim, now the wound, meaning the strength of the Rishoyim, is lifted up. The Tzadikim, that's right, the horn, the strength of the Tzadikim is lifted up. Yichtiv, as the Pasuk says, B'chol Kaini Rishoyim Agadeya, Hashem says, I will cut down all the strength of the Rishoyim, Tereman, the Kaini Tzadik, the strength of the Tzadikim will be exalted. So we see that one goes right after the other, so right after the Lamashinim has to go Ala Tzadikim. And the Kol of Geriat Tzadikim, at Tzadikim, when you say in that bracha, you have to list the Geriat Tzadik in there as well. When you're listing all the groups of people that Hashem should have Rachmanus on, Allah Tzadikim, Allah Siddim, etc., you have our Geriat Tzadik volume. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Mipnei Sevar Tokum, this week's parasha. You should stand up in the presence of an aged person, which means, by the way, the Gemara says in Kedushin, it means any old person. The Gemara mentions that even a goy, you show him Derech Eretz and stand up for him. V'adarta Pnei Zokim, you give honor to the face of the elder, which the Gemara explains there primarily means a Tamad Chacham, even if he's physically young, but he's Zokim Zeshekona Chachma. The Samech Lay, and the next passage continues, V'chiyogu itchem ger, when a ger lives among you, then the Torah tells us don't insult him or wrong him or whatever. So we see that.
It also goes on someone who is physically an older man, right?
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Yeah. So the Samech Lay, V'chiyogu itchem ger, so we see that Tzadikim, we see that Vardar to Pnei Zokim, which means Tamech HaKamim, Tzadikim goes together with Gerim. So therefore, when we're saying Allah Tzadikim, we have to mention the Gerim as well. So that's why the brachas go in that order. And we do mention this Kainim in there as well, of course, Val Zikne Am Chabes Yisra. Next, the Heichon Mr. Nemes Kaunam, where is their strength going to be empowered? Be Yerushalayim, specifically in Yerushalayim. And therefore the Baruch of the Yerushalayim comes next. Now, Marsha points out, we don't mean necessarily, this is not the Kibbutz Golias. Kibbutz Golias we had before, that was the Baruch of Tkab HaShofar. So here we're talking about that after the Jewish people, the Kibbutz Golias is before Yerushalayim is even completely resettled. There's already Kibbutz Golias. Then you have Yerushalayim is fully settled, and then you have the Tzadikim have their Roimu Muskerim. They have their strength is exalted over there. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Shalu Shloim Yerushalayim, seek the peace of Yerushalayim, Yishloyu Oyavoyit, those who love you, which means the Tzadikim, who love Yerushalayim, should have peace. So therefore we see that therefore Allah Tzadikim, necessarily the Bracha of Yerushalayim follows next. It sounds like the Tzadikim are going to be living in Yerushalayim. Yeah, that's what it sounds like, yeah. I mean, maybe it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to live there. First of all, I mean, it could be that the very fact, for example, you have the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Tzubis that says that who's considered a citizen of Yerushalayim, Echad HaNolad Bo V'Echad HaMetzapeh L'Roisa, whether a person was actually physically born in Yerushalayim or whether he's looking forward to being able to live there, he can also be considered that he was born and is a citizen of Yerushalayim. They tell a famous story in that connection. There was a Yid in the interwar period, during the period when the British ruled over Eretz Yisrael. He needed an official paper to be able to immigrate, and they needed if he can prove that he was born in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim or whatever, that he was born in Eretz Yisrael, then he'll move to the head of the line. So I think it was Rabbi Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld told him he can go and write that, even though he wasn't actually born there, based on that Gemara. He's looking forward to being in Yerushalayim. He's Metzapel Roisa, and therefore the Gemara says he can be called a citizen of Yerushalayim.
He
Anyway, so the point is, the same thing over here. We don't necessarily mean that Lasid Lavi, every single tzaddik is actually going to live in Yerushalayim per se, but it means that they have their Makum Shemach Shabta Shaladim, Shamu Nimsa, where a person is thinking. That's where he is. So if their thoughts are focused on Yerushalayim, then they're in Yerushalayim. It also talks about the Yerushalayim is going to expand all the way to Damascus. Yeah, so there is that. Yerushalayim is actually going to be physically bigger as well. Yeah, it's true. Okay. The Kivin Shenivnes Yerushalayim Bud Dub. Once Yerushalayim is rebuilt, then David, then Mashiach is going to come. Meaning Rashi says, Marsha says, once Yerushalayim is built, now they need a king to rule over it, and therefore they're going to be seeking David. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Acha Yeshuvu Bnei Yisrael, afterwards, after the Golos and after the Geula, the Jewish people are going to be returning, Uvikshuas Hashem Alekehem, and they will seek out Hashem, their God, Ves David Malcolm, and their king David. The Medrash says on it that when the Aseres HaShvatim split off, they rejected three things. They rejected the Beis Mikdash, they rejected Malchus Beis David, and they rejected Hashem, because they built the Eglei Azav. So now, when is the Geula going to come? When they seek out and want to have back all these three things. So therefore, so we see in this pasuk that it mentions those two things, and actually the pasuk continues, so that refers to the Beis Mikdash as well. So therefore, in other words, in short, that's why the Baruch Es Tzemach goes after the Yerushalayim. Next, the Kivin Shabbat David Bas Tefillah. Once Mashiach has come, and in particular, Marsha adds that once he comes, one of the jobs of the king, as we know, is to build the Beis Mikdash. They have to wipe out Amalek, they have to be in peace in Eretz Yisrael from Amalek, they have to have a king, or actually the order is first a king, then Amalek, like we find in the Shoal, and then they build the Beis Mikdash, as David wanted to do when he was at peace. So therefore, so now, the Beis Mikdash is going to be built, and now, Bas Tefillah, now you have the true davening, now you have that there's a place, the Beis Mikdash is the ultimate Mokum Tefillah, and therefore, that's why the Baruch Hashma Keilenu comes next. Shenema, as the passage says, Rabbi Yosim al Havpad, Shi Hashem says, I will bring them to my holy mountain, the Simachtim Beis Tfilosi, and I will make them happy in my house of Tfilah. So we see that once we come to Yerushalayim and build the Beis Mikdash, then the next thing is that we'll have the Beis Tfilah over there, and Hashem will accept our Tfilahs over there. The Kivin Shabbos Tfilah, so therefore, Shma Keilenu comes after Es Tzemach. The Kivin Shabbos Tfilah, Bos Avoida. The next thing after that comes the Avoida. Tefillah is Avoida Shabalev. So therefore, so first we daven with the Avoida in the heart, and then we have Korbanos. Marsha points out, we have the same thing, but Chanukah Sabayis is the first Beis Mikdash. First, Shlomo said a whole long tefillah over there, 30 odd psukim, and then he brought a huge number of Korbanos for the Chanukah Sabayis. So therefore, that's why the Baruch Ritzei, which is about the Avoida, the Hoshiv HaAvoida L'Driv Yisecha, comes next. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Oli seim v'zivchayim marotzen amizbati." That same pasuk, the simachtim beveis tfilasi, continues. Their oilus and their shlomim will be brought for favor on my mizbeach, meaning that I will accept them with faith. So therefore, after the simachtim beveis tfilasi comes oli seim v'zivchayim. By the way, in the times of the Beis Mikdash, the nusach of that bracha was slightly different. Here we say, "V'hoshev ha'avodul v'vesecha." Then it was that back then it was rather that Hashem should accept the avoda that's being done in His holy house. That Hashem should continue to accept the Rasi L'Ratz and Tamid avoda Sisrael Amecha. Some say also that the end of the bracha was different. It had to have been different. We have the end of Machzor Shchina Solitzia, and then the Shchina was in Tzion already. There was a different nusach of the end of the bracha. And in fact, the nusach Ashkenaz to this very day, they say that on days when there's duchening in Musaf, then they end the bracha with that instead as an evocation of how it was in the times of the Beis Mikdash. Oh, nusach, of course, as we say, Machzor Shchina Solitzia always. Anyway, the kivin shabos avoda bos haydar. The next thing is once there's avoda, then there's hoidah. Then there's now the word hoidah can actually have two meanings. It can mean thanks, as in to thank Hashem that we have the ability to do that. But Marsha says actually here it means more meloshin vidu, that when a person brings his korban, he says vidu yamin. That's when he brings a chakas or an ashram or what have you. The truth is, actually, that the Rambam explained, we know when a person says, when brings a korban toda, then of course he thanks Hashem for it. He says, mizmul asoda. And the Rambam says, when a person brings a shlomim also, then he says, praises to Hashem. So really, it can mean both. But when we're talking about a person is bringing korbanos that he has to because he did some aveda, then he says, vidu on it. So that's the hoidah includes both of those points, both thanks and confession. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Zeveach Toda Yechabdonani, the one who offers a Toda will honor me, Hashem says. So we see that after the Zeveach, there has to be Toda. So therefore, that's why after Ritzeh, after the Baruch HaVavoda, next comes Moid. Next, Umar Ro Loim Birkos Koinim Achavedah. So now, why did the Anshech Nesach Dola decide that the next thing over there should be Birkos Koinim when the Chazan repeats Shemana Esrei? And by the way, of course, you know, we have, we Ashkenazim, do it only in Musaf, on Yom Tov, except some Chassarim, we do it in Shachris. As we know, Sfaradim in pretty much all places in the world, and most Ashkenazim, do it in Eretz Yisrael, do it every day. Which is really the way it's supposed to be. It's brought famously that Baal Tzedek wanted to reinstate it every day, but he wasn't able to spoil it. Anyway. So why is Birkas Kohanim at that point? Dichtiv, as we find the pasuk by the Chanukas Abayis of the Mishkan, by Yisa Aaron as Yodar Ala Omra Yivorachim, Aaron lifted up his hands to the people and benched them with Birkas Kohanim, by Yered, and then he came down from the Mizbeach, Me'asos HaChatas Va'Olav HaShlomim, from having brought the Chatas and Olav HaShlomim, so we see that he did Birkas Kohanim after he did the Avodah of the Korbanos. So they want to ask Ema Kodim Avodah, fine, but in that case, Pasuk is listing Birkas Kohanim before the names of the Korbanos, so maybe it means that Birkas Kohanim should be before Avodah, before Ritzeh, and the answer is Lo Sakadaita. You can't think that way, Dichtiv Vayered Me'asos HaChatas V'Gomer, but after all, the Pasuk says he came down from having done the Chatas and so forth. Niksiv Lasos, now it doesn't say came down in order to now start doing the Chatas and so forth. Me'asos Tiv, it says he came down from doing it, implying that he had already done it, he had already brought those korbanos, and now he's giving Birkas Kohanim to the people, so therefore we see that Birkas Kohanim comes after Avodah, and since, as we said, Avodah and Hadar go together, that is why Birkas Kohanim is put in at that point. With that said, there is a connection between Birkas Kohanim and Avodah, in that we have the halacha that if a Kohen has not left his place to start coming up to the Duchan before the end of Ritzeh, before the end of the Baruch Al Avodah, then he can't anymore. So there is, after all, a connection. He has to at least start being on his way. He doesn't have to actually reach the place in front of the Ohren Kodesh before the end of Ritzeh, but he has to at least start moving from his place. Okay. So next, the Gemara asks, the Ema Achar Avodah. Okay, so fine. Maybe what it means is, so fine. So you do Ritzeh, then, which is about the Avodah, then Birkas Kohanim, and then Hoidah, then Moedim. And the answer is, let's talk about Dr. Chiv Zeveach Toida. No, because we just said, you have the positive Zeveach Toida, that you have to bring the Korban, and with it has to go Toida, has to go thanks or acknowledgement of Avodah to Hashem. So my answer, okay, you have two psukim. One of them implies that Birkas Kohanim goes right after the Avodah, and the other one implies that Hoidah goes right after Avodah. My chos is the Samchos Aha. So why did they decide to rely on the one pasuk and put Zeveach and Toda one next to the other? Smoich Aha. Shouldn't they instead rely on the pasuk from Chumash, and therefore Avodah should go right before Birkas Kohanim? And the answer is, Mistabra, fine, but it's logical, Avodah v'Hoidah, Chodem Milsi, it's logical that Avodah and Hoidah go together, because after all, Hoidah itself, Rashi points out, is an Avodah to Hashem as well. When a person thanks Hashem, or when a person acknowledges Avodah to Hashem, that's also an Avodah to Hashem. Therefore, it really is a direct thing. It's not just a matter of a pasuk, it's also a svara that those two go together, and therefore we're going to put Birkas Kohanim only after the two of them.
The
fact is, when a person is bringing a korban, he has to confess his
averus
to Hashem. He has to say, "Chatzalsi avis parshayti," and I did such and such. Afterwards, he can thank Hashem that he was forgiven, but that's a different matter. Okay. Next, umaro lo masim shalom acha birkas koyin. Why did the Chachamim then decide that sim shalom should go after birkas koyin? Maybe it should go before Birkas Kohanim. The Ritva explains that the question is, maybe why do we even need the Bracha Sim Shalom at all? Maybe the Chachamim should have arranged that we end Shemana Esrei with Birkas Kohanim. So the reason is, Yichtiv, because how does Birkas Kohanim end? The Samor Shmiah B'nei Yisrael, the Pasuk after it, they will place my name on Jewish people, V'ani Avorachem, and I will bless them, Hashem says. We hear Macholik, there's a Macholik in Chulin, by the way. Does that mean Hashem will bless the Jewish people, meaning that Hashem gives that Hashem empowers the Kohanim to bless us, or does it mean that the Kohanim bless us and Hashem blesses the Kohanim? It's Macholik in a Gemara in Chulin.
Is it both of them?
It is both, you know, but the fact is, the Gemara in Chulin presents it as a macholos. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, Hashem is giving a bracha, and bracha da Kodesh Baruch Hu Shalom, the primary bracha that Hashem gives us is peace. Shenema Hashem Yivorech Hasami Bashalom. Hashem will bless His people with peace. And of course, Birkas Kohanim itself, the Marshal points out, Hakol Hachachasima. Everything, the main thing is the end, and the end of Birkas Kohanim is a Yosim Lachasholim. Therefore, the last thing we want to have in Shemana Esrei is a bracha asking Hashem to give us Shalom and thanking Him for giving it. Hamavarech Hasami Yisrael Vashalom. And they find that's the end of Shemini Esrei. In principle, then all you have is Yiru L'Rotzin. Later on, the Gemara mentions in Brachas, various Chachamim would add Tachnunim after davening, and eventually the Gemara brings a number of different ones that different Chachamim would say, and eventually it was established that L'Kai Netzor is set out. Now, we said at the beginning of this description that Shimon HaKuli had arranged these 18 brachas in front of Ram Gamliel. Now, that was either right before, or more likely right after, the Churban Bayis training. So the question is, if already hundreds of years earlier, the 120 Zkenim, including many Nevi'im of the Anshe Knesset HaGdola, had set up the 18 brachas of Shemini Esrei in this order, as the Gemara has just explained the order, Shimon HaKuli, my history, then what's Shimon HaKuli's contribution? What did he arrange? It's already arranged from before him. And the answer is, Shochum B'chazer V'sidram. They had forgotten it, and then he reestablished the order. Now, what do you mean forgotten? Ben Yehoyada argues that it means it can't be they forgot the actual order. People are davening Shemini Esrei three times a day. They can't possibly have forgotten the order. What it means is, he says, it means they forgot the reasons that the Gemara has just given over here, why the brachas are in the order that they are. So Shimon HaKuli didn't reestablish the order. It already existed hundreds of years before him, but he established why are they in this order, based on all the drushes from the psukim and all the logical basis and everything that the Gemara has just spent an omud discussing. With that said, there are other possibilities that different acharonim bring up, including one of them is, b'chlal, there's a din that you're allowed to add me'ena bracha in any bracha of Shemini Esrei, except for the first three and the last three. So you can have an atachonin, for example, you're about to take a tough test, you can ask the Eibishter to give you extra intelligence to pass the test. You have a particular Avera that you're having a hard time doing tshuva with, you can ask for extra help with it in Hashiveinu, and so forth with each of the brachas.
Say that loud of a covenant.
No, you say it to yourself. I mean, you're saying the whole Shemini Esrei quietly to yourself. We're not talking about Chazor Sashatz, we're talking about the Shtilah Shemini Esrei. Now, therefore, so what may have happened is, over time, people added such things, and remember, Sidurim weren't even written down yet, so it became, but there came a point when nobody remembered the original Nusach anymore, because there had been so many things like that were added. So therefore, according to that, it would be not so much that Shimon HaKuli rearranged the order, but rather that he restated what the actual Nusach is supposed to be. The Chalal, not necessarily is there one Nusach to begin with. Famously, we know the Mizrisha Magid says there were 13 basic Nuschos, one for each Shevet, and one the Shara Kolo for anybody who doesn't know what Shevet he's from. So that may also be what Shimon HaKuli did, is to fix that up, what the actual 13 original Nuschos are. Another point is, the Chalal, the Gemara tells us in Brachos, that a person, there's different opinions of Tanoim over there. There's an opinion, I think, of Ram Gamliel that says a person does not have to daven the full Shemini Esrei every day. Most of the time, he can say the paragraph Havineinu. He can say the first three brachas, and then the paragraph Havineinu and the last three brachas, where Havineinu is sort of a short version of the middle 13 brachas of Shemini Esrei. It includes like a few words or a line representing each of the brachas. Havineinu Hashem Elokeinu L'Dasas Rachecha, representing Atachonin, Umervos L'Oveinu L'Yurasecha, corresponding to Kashivenu, V'Sislachlonu, corresponding to Slachlonu, and so forth. So what may have been is, many times people were doing that, and therefore they'd forgotten that there were actually 13 full brachas that are supposed to be said, and therefore Shimon HaKuli had to reestablish that.
So, press for time?
That's when you press for time, basically, yeah. Yeah, when you're pressed for time, yeah, and you have dinim about it, that I brought in the Gemara in Brachos, and I brought from there in Shulchan Aruch. You can't say it during the winter, because you have to say the same Talamata. You can't say it Matzah Shabbos, because you have to say Atachonin. Yeah, you have certain rules about it, but yeah, in principle, such a thing exists. And there are Tanoim in the Sechta Brachos that say that you could say it all the time, so therefore, over time, people may have forgotten that there were actual separate Brachos. There's something else as well. The Mishnah mentions there in Brachas, you have an even shorter thing that begins Tzorche Amcha Yisrael Merubim, that a person says when he's poshut not able to daven Shemini Esrei at all. It's one short paragraph. The difference being that when a person davens Havineinu, he has been yotze Shemini Esrei. He doesn't have to daven later on when things are calmer. Whereas if he says Tzorche Amcha, then he's not actually been yotze Shemini Esrei, and he'll have to daven later on when there's time. But yeah. Okay. Anyway, the point is, so there's a few possibilities of what Shimon HaKuli contributed exactly. Okay. Next, the Gemara says Mikan ve'elach. Now, beyond that, beyond these 19 brachas that we have in Shemini Esrei, also the sapa b'shvachah shalach kadosh baruch hu, you're not allowed to tell over the praise of Hashem. Meaning, in other words, Rashi says, obviously, all the time you say baruch Hashem and things like that. It means b'kvius bracha. Means to establish a bracha, or to establish a text within a bracha, that we're going to add this as a praise of Hashem, you're not allowed to do that. Don't create your own brachos. Right, basically. Yeah, the Omer Rabbi Elazar, my dichtiv, Rabbi Elazar says, what does it mean when it says in the pasuk, mi yimalo gvuras Hashem, who can express the powers of Hashem, yashmiya kol tehillah, so the one who can make heard all of his praise. So in the simple meaning, the pasuk says, who can express all the in the simple meaning, the word me goes on both halves of the pasuk. The Rishonim, the Mephoshim, I'm skilking often call this thing Moshech Acher Imai, that the word me goes on both halves of the pasuk. Me Yamal Gurus Hashem, me Yashmiya Kol Tehillasi. But the Gemara is understanding it as a question and answer. L'min nor l'mal gurus Hashem, to whom is it appropriate to speak the praises of Hashem? L'misha yochol Hashem yakol te'ilasei, only a person who's able to express the entire praise of Hashem. And since nobody can possibly do that, so that means don't try on your own to be m'mal gurus Hashem. Say what the Chachamim established for you and leave it at that. In fact, in the Gemara in Horius, brings this Lashon and has a different take on it. It means also that the Yashmiya Kol Tehillasei, in the sense of a person who knows the entire Torah, where the Torah is a praise of Hashem. So when a person knows the entire Torah, then he's worthy to Yamalo Gvoros Hashem. So therefore, that kind of fits with this as well, because it means, therefore, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, who are on the level of Yashmiya Kol Tehillasei, they're the ones who Yamalo Gvoros Hashem, they're the ones who could establish Menasseh, but us not. So the Gemara continues in this vein. Now, Marsha points out, it means both, really. It means not only to not add a bracha of your own, it means to add a nusach within a bracha. Yeah, for example, the Gemara in Brachas, and it's also later on in Amasechta, where a person was davening by the Amur, and after a Kelav Gadol, a Gibbah Vanur, he starts adding a whole bunch of other praises of Hashem, and then Rabbi Bohu tells him it's inappropriate to do that. We wouldn't even say a Kelav Gadol, a Gibbah Vanur, if not that Moshe Rabbeinu said it. And later on, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola said it, but you can't add things of your own. So both things are included. Yeah, it was in a week or a week and a half ago in Shlosh Prakim. Yeah, when you get down to it, in Shlosh Prakim, almost everything is pretty recent. The whole thing takes only a year, you know. Omer Rav Baba Chana, Omer Rav Yechanan, Hamasapa B'Shvacha Shalak Kadosh Baruch Hu Yosem Yidai. In this vein, if a person speaks about the praise of Hashem more than he should, Nechem in Ha'olam, he gets uprooted from the world. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Hayisupar Loi, could it be told to him? Meaning, so the simple meaning of the pasuk is something like, can it be told to Hashem when I speak? How could a man possibly speak everything of the greatness of Hashem? So we're understanding it basically, Hayisupar Loi, could the Hayisupar, can it be told over the whole praise of Hashem? Loi, that I should speak to him, Ki Adaber, that I should speak, Im Omar Ish, if a person were to try to do that, Ki Yavula, then he would be swallowed up. So that's what he means, Nechem in Ha'olam. And the Gemara continues in this vein. Darash Rabbi Yehuda Ish Kfau Giburaya. Rabbi Yehuda from Kfau Giburaya said, Darshan, Ba'amilo Ish Kfau Gibur Chayil. Obviously, say he came from a village called Gibur Chayil. My Dichtiv, what does it mean? The Pasuk can tell him, L'chod Yumiya Sehila. To you, Hashem silences praise. That means Sama Dekula, the best of the best medicine, the best elixir of all, Mashtuka, is being quiet, not to talk too much. So Blacha, to you, Hashem, Jumia, to be silent where it's appropriate. Tehillah is the best praise of Hashem. The Osir of Dimi, Amon Rav Dimi, came from Eretz Yisrael. He said, Amri B'marava, they have an expression in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, Mila B'Sela, even if a word is worth as much as a sella, you might have something, a precious word, which is worth spending a sella on, mashtuka betrain, but silence is worth two sloyim. So it's worth twice as much. On the side of here, in Yad Yosef, it brings a girsa from the Oruch, mila kisela. A word might be like a stone, like a useless object. Mashtuka, whereas silence, ke'evan tova, is like not just any kind of stone, but a precious stone. We have in this past Chavez's Pirkei Avos, we have the Rambam gives over there a whole taxonomy of the different kinds of speech. You have speech which is a mitzvah, you have speech which is a good thing to do even though it's not quite the level of a mitzvah, you have speech which is allowed, you have speech which is outright osur, and so on, and you have speech which is not outright osur but inappropriate and so forth. So that's the kind of thing the Gemara is talking about. Your person has to know when to speak and when not to speak. Yeah, people speak, you text messages, so they speak less. They texting itself is speaking also, you know, but yeah. Okay. All right. Further on, the Gemara continues talking about dinim of reading the Megillah, which is, after all, the subject of this half of the Masechta, and it mentions a particular din in that, a particular answer in that connection to a question that the Gemara had raised that Rav Acha says in the name of Rav Elazar. So now, as the Gemara often does, it brings another thing from the same Amara. Omer Rav Acha, Omer Rav Elazar, minayin shekroi HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov Kael. From where do we see that Hashem called Yaakov Kael? Kael means a powerful one. In a certain sense, it even means that he called him Hashem. Shenema, the pasuk says, by Yaakov Shom Mizbeach, Yaakov set up a Mizbeach in Shem, by Yikra Loi, Kael Eleke Yisrael. And he called it, or he called him, the word Loi, of course, can mean both, Kael Eleke Yisrael. Now, De Sakadaydachlum and Vinizbeach, Kodila Yaakov Kael. If you're going to say that, it means that Yaakov called the Mizbeach Kael. And in the simple sense, it actually mentions on the pasuk, that's what it means. It means, al derech, like we find, Tosfos brings over here, you have an example, Moshe builds a Mizbeach, and he calls it Hashem Nisi, and Rashi explains, the Mizbeach is not called Hashem, but it means, the name of the Mizbeach is Hashem Nisi. When a person sees the Mizbeach, he's going to remember that Hashem is my banner, and Hashem is the one who does Nisi for him. So, but the Gemara doesn't like that explanation, because if you're going to say that it means he called the Mizbeach, that he called the Mizbeach, Kael Elokei Yisrael, then by Yikra Loi Yaakov. The problem is that it should say that Yaakov called it. By Yikra lo Yaakov, and Yaakov called the Mizbeach, Kael Elokei Yisrael. And then fine, it would mean in a simple sense that whenever somebody sees the Mizbeach, he remembers Hashem is the God of Yisrael. Ela by Yikra loy, lo Yaakov Kael. Rather, it means the loy is not referring to the Mizbeach, it refers to him, to Yaakov. Umi kroi Kael. So who is calling him Kael? Elokei Yisrael. So in other words, we parse the pasuk as follows. By Yikra loy, Hashem called him, Yaakov, Kael, and who was that who did the calling? Elokei Yisrael. Now what does that mean? What does it mean that he called Yaakov Kael? So Maharsha refers to something that is, first of all, Maharsha points out also the Gemara would be bothered by if it just meant that he's calling the Mizbeach, that everybody, whenever they see the Mizbeach, should remember Hashem, then it should just say, Vayikrolei Elokei Yisrael, what's the word Kael do? Therefore, that's why the Gemara doubts it. Now, what does it mean? So he refers to the Ramban, says on the pasuk over there that there's a soid in it, there's a whole Kabbalistic secret over there. It includes the point that Chazal say that Yaakov Avinu's image is engraved on Hashem's Kisei HaKavod. So in other words, there's a certain close connection between Yaakov and Hashem more than any of the other others, or more than any of the other tzaddikim. Tosfos also points out further that it's one thing to call the Mizbeach, for example, Hashem Nisi, or Hashem Shalom, or something. It means Hashem is my banner, or Hashem is the one who makes me peace, or whatever. But just to call it by Hashem's name without anything else, Kael Elokei Yisrael, seems like an odd thing to do, and therefore that's what bothered the Gemara, and therefore that's why the Gemara is doubting it this way. Now, there's a couple of interesting Maimori Chassidus that talk about the deeper idea behind this. In particular, there's a long, interesting Maimor on it from the Rebbe Maharash, and then there are later Maimorim on it based on it from the later Rebbeim that talk about, we have, for example, is that he brings in that connection, for example, a Medrash that says that just like Hashem creates worlds, the same way the Tzaddikim create worlds. Yeah, well, in that connection, they mention a Gemara in Baba Basra, Sid and Tzaddikim, Shi Koro Ashmoy Shalakadosh Baruch Hu. In the future, the Tzaddikim are going to be called by Hashem's name. And he develops the idea over there, because we're talking about, you have neshamas of Atzilus. You have high-level tzaddikim, who's neshamas of Matzilus. And from Atzilus, even on a level that doesn't even have to do with Seder Eshtalshalus, to the point where therefore they really can be identified on a very high level with other courts. And therefore we can say such things about them. This also fits with, for example, what the Rebbe famously said about the Friedrich Rebbe, and we understand that it means himself also, that the Rebbe has Atzmos and Mahus in a goof. It all fits with this idea that a certain high-level neshamas can be called back. He brings also in this minor the point that the Alter Rebbe, for example, makes in Tanya, that even, for example, the Eibishter sends a malach on a shlichus, then the malach can be called by Hashem's name, by Yera Elav Hashem, at the beginning of Parshas Vayera. The Ramban explains over there that means the malachim, since the malachim are being sent by Hashem, then for that purpose they can be called Hashem. So that's what we're saying. In other words, that we're saying that there's very high-level tzaddikim, the Shomas Dat Silos, that can be called by that name. And then the Mirab Marash goes on in that Maimer to develop the point. So why is it only Lasid Lavoi? Why is it not now that way? And here we see that Yaakov Avinu is already, in his time, is already on that level of Lasid Lavoi, and therefore we're saying that the Eidosh should call them Kael. Mirab Marash is a Maimer from Tofer Shlomo Gimel by Yatsa Shom Mizbeach. Yom Yom Mashiach Go'ola. of Ches Nissen. The Rebbe was talking, this is from the famous Sicha. Today is Chof Ches Nissen, is the day when the Rebbe said, I've done everything I can, and now it's up to you, Chzidim, to bring Mashiach. So in that Sicha, the Rebbe says, Yehi Ratzin, that at some point there should be found, Sof Kol Sof, there should be 10 Jews who action Zich, that they have to work on Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we find the Pasuk, Ki Am She'erafu, that Moshe says about the Jewish people, that we're stubborn, stiff-necked people, but there's an advantage in that. He's asking for Mechila for the Jewish people. He's not saying they're stiff-necked, but still forgive them, but because Am She'erafu v'salach to la'vanenu l'chatzenu n'chatonu, because there's that positive She'erif that can be used to action Zichayim and demand by the Eivishter to bring the Geula, to actually bring it, the Poyol, Mam, Teiko from Yad Ma'ish. And then the Rebbe continued, and that Sicha, for my contribution to making that Pa'ula happen sooner, will be to happen as fast as possible, then he's going to give each person a Shlichus Mitzvah, he's going to give every person a dollar after that Sicha, and Dolot Stokash, Makadeva Sagula, and now, famously, the Rebbe says, I've done my part, and now you have to do Kol HaShav Yecholtachem, everything that you can do. Okay, continuing with halachas of Shabbos, you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos, whether it's a living tree, whether it's dried up, even if you're not shaking it. If you shake it anyway, there's an issue of mukzah involved. As far as leaning on it, the Alter Rebbe says, actually, if it's a weak tree where leaning on it is going to move it, then you can't, but if it's a strong tree, then you could lean against it. That's not considered using. So it means, among other things, you can't climb it on Shabbos, you can't hang on it, you can't put anything on a tree or take it off, tie an animal to it, etc. You're not even allowed to use the sides of the tree. So, and the sides doesn't just mean the actual sides like the trunk. It includes, for example, you have, let's say, a basket hanging on a branch of the tree, or an example also might be a swing hanging from a tree, then you're not allowed to use it because that basket or swing is called Sidya Ha'ilam. On the other hand, though, what you have is if you have, let's say, a peg stuck into the tree and a basket hanging from that peg, then you're allowed to, the basket is tzidei tzedod. You wouldn't be allowed to take off the basket itself, because that would be tzidei, but you are allowed to use the basket. So an example, as far as a swing, might be if you have something attached to the branch and then you have the swing attached to it. I don't know, actually, maybe the chains themselves count as something else, and then the seed of the swing counts as tzidei tzedod. I'm not sure about that. My understanding is that it's actually the whole swing, chains and all, is concluded. It's considered tzedadin. You can't, but I may be incorrect on that. Tzedadin would mean sides of sides. So you have, to give the example that he gave over here, you have a peg that's knocked into the tree, and then you have a basket hanging from the peg. You're allowed to take things out of the basket on Shabbos. It's an appendage of an appendage, basically. Yeah. So whether a swing counts as tzedadin or tzedadin, I'm actually not sure. I guess we have a rob over here. We can ask him or. The issue is because the Chachamim were concerned that you might break off a branch from the tree on Shabbos. So therefore, they extended that to the extent that you can't use the tree or its dudin at all because of that concern that you might break something off. That would be pruning. That would be the malacha of Zoyer. That would be the Zoyer, which is a tolda of Chotzer, yeah.
Sometimes a grill is built such a way that the swing goes together with the
tail. Right.
So it's one thing. That could happen.
Right.
What is, should be a secondary thing,
mm-hmm.
But it's one hemshire.
But it's one hemshire, so it's more likely to be tzedadin, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.